Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks for hanging in there with us. It is time now to move on to our next guest, Dr. Mark Rockenbach of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Rockenbach, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you today. Thanks so much for being our guest. Glad we were able to get connected. I think the rain here is affecting the phone lines in St. Louis. Well, thanks for being our guest. Tell us a little bit about your work at Concordia Seminary as Associate Professor of Pastoral Theology, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, so I teach here at the seminary in primarily the pastoral department. So I teach pastoral counseling courses, pastoral theology courses, and I also have the opportunity to do psychological testing for our students. So we give them personality behavioral tests, and I work with them on that to identify their strengths and their growth areas. And that's part of what I do here at the seminary.
And you teamed up with LCMS Life and our health ministry, our parish nurse ministry, and served as the speaker for part of the video lecture series recently and on guilt and forgiveness and its effect on health. Tell me a little bit about being involved with working with parish nurses and why you accepted this noble task.
Sure. Well, parish nurses are a very important part of congregations. Not all congregations are blessed to have a parish nurse, but parish nurses do a lot for the congregation by giving like presentations about various health topics. Sometimes they're found many times, doing blood pressures, in between services or the like, helping people understand maybe diagnosis or medication that they're taking. And as they're doing this, they're not only like a professional nurse, but they're also serving in as kind of a spiritual caregiver in many ways also. And so people will talk to them about other things besides just simply their physical health. They'll talk about their spiritual health. They'll talk about things that they're wrestling and struggling with in their lives. And so that relates to the topic they asked me to talk about for their video series, is because people do wrestle and struggle with conflict. They wrestle and struggle with their own sins and forgiveness and what this means for them. And so the hope was to be able to provide parish nurses an opportunity to learn a little bit more about forgiveness and maybe even how to talk to people about that and give them hope that there is forgiveness in the variety of different circumstances that they may be struggling or wrestling with.
Let's start with guilt. How does guilt affect us? Obviously, in multiple ways. How does guilt affect us from various perspectives?
Well, there is a distinction, and I don't talk about this in the video, but there is a distinction between guilt and shame that's sometimes helpful to make. And with guilt, it's more about I did something wrong, I got caught, and so people usually want to make amends in some fashion. Guilt is a very uncomfortable feeling. So if I catch one of my children doing something wrong and call them to accountability on it, they know I caught them. And so guilt has to do a lot with, an actual sin we've done, and we need to make amends for that somehow. And shame has a lot more to do probably with people feeling that they're a bad person. And it has a lot to do with their identity as well. Shame, while guilt is more of an uncomfortable feeling, shame is a painful feeling. And so people who struggle with shame struggle with probably, just the fact that they're originally sinful. And either something they've done or something someone else has done has caused shame for them. And there can be overlap with the two. But I think it's important to make that distinction because it helps better to know, like, if you're working with someone, whether they're struggling with guilt or shame makes a difference of how you talk to them about forgiveness or how you help them to work through the various issues that are going on in their life.
So guilt certainly can affect our, as well as shame, both can affect our thinking and our thought process. And so that certainly could have a negative effect on us in terms of how it might disrupt my thoughts or make it difficult for me to concentrate, might make it difficult for me to to stay focused long enough to do the things before me.
Right. It gets in the way of a lot of things. And ultimately, associationism, sin is attached to that. Mm-hmm. Sin gets in the way of, it gets in the way of our relationship with God, ultimately. That was the problem with Adam and Eve in the garden. Sin got in the way, and there were consequences, and things happened, and a broken relationship took place. So we have a broken relationship with God, but we also have a broken relationship with one another. And so we live in this brokenness, but the hope is, God has provided a way to bring healing to that and to heal that brokenness. And ultimately that's through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the hope then. And that's the hope you can give as you work with people, however they're struggling with things. So let's use guilt. If someone's done something wrong, they've stolen something, and they've got caught or they've confessed this, you can speak words of forgiveness to them. You can assure them that sin is forgiven because of Jesus Christ. And that's what brings them hope, and that's what brings them peace. Someone who's struggling with shame may be struggling with, shame comes in a lot of different ways. I kind of talk about it as it's kind of this unwanted shadow, that's there. And something that someone else has done can bring shame upon you. But since it has to do with identity, you can remind people that they're a child of God. And you can tell them, you are a child of God. And so you help them think about themselves differently rather than being something that they're very shameful of. Being a child of God is something that they can be, that can bring hope and can bring joy in the situation.
How further might guilt or shame affect us other than just our thoughts?
Well, it also, now this relates well to the parish nurse then video in regards to our physical well-being. So in the research, it has shown that if people are struggling with guilt, they're struggling with shame, they're struggling with unforgiveness is another one I'll throw out there. When they struggle with these things, it has a negative impact upon their overall physical health. They will be less active usually. There's been studies that have shown that it affects blood pressure levels. And they've done studies on forgiveness where those who are more forgiving recovered more quickly in a hospital setting than those who were not forgiving. And it has a lot to do with our attitude, how we look at ourselves, perceive ourselves, and the hope that we have. So if you're unforgiving and you got all this stuff going on, you have all these broken relationships and you think God's against you, you don't have much hope, and that affects then your ability to recover physically. It also has an impact upon mental health too. So, for example, we know that people have issues of depression, for example, or anxiety, or even anger issues. If you are unforgiving, or if you feel that you're unforgivable, or whatever the case may be, then you'll have more depression. And what happens is, we call this in the psychological world, cognitive looping or rumination. People will fixate upon this thing, whatever it is, in a negative way, which then affects them negatively physically and also mentally. And in theological terms, I always call it unforgiveness. So we end up being unforgiving, and it just has a negative effect upon us. Now, the hope in all this is that, when we realize that we're children of God and we're reminded of that, and we realize there's forgiveness for us, and then we can forgive other people then for things they've done against us, then we are physically, emotionally, mentally more healthy. And so there is a connection then between the guilt and the shame, sin, unforgiveness, and our overall health.
What are steps that we can take in dealing with guilt and shame that to avoid it affecting our health in such a negative way?
Well, one of the things, I did my PhD research on forgiveness, and so one of the things I found in the work that I did, what I did is I interviewed people who had been sinned against, and they had gotten to a point where they actually forgave the other person. And so I wanted to understand, as a qualitative study, I wanted to understand the process they went through, the experience that they had. And one of the things that they all said was there was something outside of themselves that had an impact upon their lives. So if you're struggling with shame or guilt or sin or unforgiveness or all these things, and you're feeling miserable about it, I mean, it's affecting your whole world and in many negative ways. It's important to have something outside yourself. In other words, I always tell my students here at the seminary, this is why you're so important, because many of them talked about how they went and talked to their pastor. And their pastor was there to be able to help them through this. You can't do this on your own. And those who try to do it on their own, they end up being isolated. And isolation's a bad thing. When you become isolated, you begin to think about things that are just not theological correct or even psychologically correct many times. And so having someone on the outside that you trust you can go talk to, like your pastor or a parish nurse or a DCE, or there's a lot of different professional church workers who you can go and talk with, that they can help you through these times and just help you to kind of process what's going on. And part of it is then being able to say what's going on and being okay with saying it and not trying to hide it. So many people try to hide it. And the more you hide it, the worse it gets. In fact, research has shown that the better off you are to speak it and attend to it, the more likelihood it is that you'll be able to get through that. You know, it's a psychological way of talking about it. Theologically, we talk about in terms of how Christ then can, you know, that good message of Christ can come to you. So one of the biggest things is making sure that we provide opportunities for people where they can go talk to someone about this and train people how it is that they can talk to and help them through these times when they're struggling. So that's kind of one of the biggest things that I think is important to know. And that when you go, those who you talk to, they're going to share the gospel with you. They're going to share God's peace, God's joy. And that ultimately is that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose again for the sins of the whole world, which includes you. And so this thing that you're struggling with, the guilt thing, it's been forgiven. You're a child of God. That then addresses the shame issue.
What can we do to help others when it comes to guilt and shame that they might be dealing with?
So if someone comes to you and they're struggling with something, be a good listener. One of the most difficult things to do is to listen. Some people say that they're a good listener, but really they're not. They're really a good advice giver. And a lot of people love to give advice. Well, if you only do this, you know, if you only do that, and the first step, if someone's coming to you or you're working with someone who's struggling in some fashion, with unforgiveness, sin, shame, guilt, just simply listen to them. Reflect back to them the things that you're hearing them say, which will help them to better understand their own situation, maybe what they're really struggling with. But just take time to listen and not give advice. And then the other thing you can do then, once you've got done listening to them, this is how you end your time with them. You say, "How may I pray for you today?" And instead of pray, because a lot of times what happens, well, let me pray for you, and I determine how I'm going to pray. Instead, you let them determine how you're going to pray. And listen for the things that they talk about and what they want you to pray for. And many times those are kind of the main issues, the big things that are really going on. And you pray for those things. You include that in your prayer. And that is a very powerful thing to do. So listening, praying for them. And then if there is, they confess to something that they've done wrong, okay, just be the guilt thing. I did this thing, whatever it is, make sure that you speak words of forgiveness to them. We have the most wonderful words in all the world to say to people, and that is, you are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. But yet I can't tell you how many times in my own experience, people, even pastors, don't know how to speak these words. I've brought people together because I do a lot of reconciliation, mediations, things like this with people in conflict. And I remember one time I brought together a principal and a pastor. They had been fighting with each other, and the principal had spent all this time, you know, putting together what he was going to confess to pastor. And when he was done, I said to the pastor, I said, "Okay, do you have anything to say to the principal?" And pastor said, "No, I'm good." And I said, "Well, your principal just confessed that he had sinned against you and does these things. Is there something you want to say?" And the pastor finally said, "Well, yeah, I'm just finally glad that he admitted that he was wrong. You know, it's about time." And what was missing is he missed the opportunity to speak words of forgiveness and say, you are forgiven. And so many times we miss that opportunity. Again, we try to be more advice-giving. But if someone's struggling with someone and they confess it, or they say, it's okay to say to them, I have some good news for you. Your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what brings joy, and that's what brings peace. And if we all were doing that more, I think that would change how it is that we relate to one another, and also how the world sees us as well.
Absolutely. There's power in the good news of Jesus, in the forgiveness of sins. And that that certainly is life-changing. Being prepared to be a listener rather than an advice giver is certainly an important step. Other things that we might want to avoid or not do when someone comes to us with matters of guilt or shame?
Well, another thing that I think is important, especially if people are coming to you, is you have to realize your own sinfulness also. You can't look at yourself as, I don't sin, or I have no shame or guilt that I ever wrestle with. So someone who's really good at helping others is someone who's been there themselves. And so, like in the research I did, all the participants said that the reason why they were able to forgive the other person is because at some point in time they came to the realization that they were a sinner and that they needed to hear words of forgiveness. And that was just amazing to me. I didn't expect them to say that. But that's very Lutheran, too. You know, you got to get that log out of your own eye before you can remove the speck from someone else's eye. So if you've been there yourself, if you've gone to your pastor, if you've gone to individual confession, absolution, and you know what that's like, and you've heard those words of forgiveness from someone else, well, then you've been there, and you know what it's like, and it's difficult to give something you don't have. So if you have not been forgiven of sin, if you don't know what that's like, or the struggle that's with guilt and shame, it's difficult then to be able to relate to others. So make sure that you're practicing the same thing that you're doing with others. Who do you talk to about the things you struggle with? Who says words of forgiveness to you? And I'm not just talking about corporate confession, absolution that we did in church, but I'm talking about actually talking to another person like your pastor. So you got to practice that yourself, and as you practice it yourself, you're going to be much better off in being able to do this with others. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about this in Life Together too. You know, the importance of you can't hear confession unless you're actually doing it yourself. You know, confessing to someone else, and sometimes we lose sight of that. We kind of put ourselves in a position, we're the expert, or we know more, or we don't know. We don't need to be forgiven, but that person does. So you got to practice what it is that you're preaching or teaching or encouraging others to do.
In the video lecture that on guilt and forgiveness from LCMS Health Ministry, Parish Nurse Ministry, what are some of the key points that you make in that video that why we would want to check it out? And if we're serving in a congregation, whether as a parish nurse or someone else in a helping type vocation?
Sure. So I do talk about response to sin. We didn't really talk about that yet today, but like how we can run from things, attack things, and what that means, and how depression and anger relate to that. I also actually give you in the lecture, I'll talk about the participants in my research and the actual words that they said and how this relates. And a lot of people find that helpful because like, yeah, I can relate to that person. When that person said this, that's exactly how I feel about it. So that's in there also. So I talk about how we can end cognitive looping, or how we can end unforgiveness and the benefit of that. The other thing that I also talk about is looking at idols of the heart. So, you know, we talk about the importance of listening, but what are you listening for is important. And so you have to listen for what their fears are, what their desires are, and where their misplaced trusts are. So in the video, I'll talk about that more, how you listen for their fears, how you listen to what they desire, how they listen to where they put their trust, and why that is important to listen. So it's kind of more of an advanced thing. There's just, you know, general active listening you can learn. But it's important to listen for certain things. And as you listen for those things, you hear those things, you can better know how to lead and guide them and help them in the things that they're struggling with. And then also I do talk about, you know, how do we end unforgiveness ultimately is with Christ, is that we have a wonderful, beautiful word of forgiveness that we can share with people that we don't often share. And if we could start speaking that more to one another, because the people I've been with who I've said, hey, I have some good news for you, your sins are forgiven, it's amazing how they receive that. It's a beautiful word to them, and no one else has ever said that to them. They've gotten a lot of advice from people. Counselors give advice to them. But to have someone say your sins are forgiven, there is just nothing like it in all the world. And so I just encourage in the video, too, the importance of being able to speaking those words after you've done the listening, of course, and providing care for them.
How do you prepare your, with just about a minute left, how do you prepare your students for these very issues as well with the pastors and our seminarians and deaconess students? How do you prepare them for this very issue as well?
Well, we teach them active listening skills, teach them about all the things that I've talked about, you know. But the other thing we do is I actually give them scenarios. And so I put them, and they're scenarios from my own research, they're real life. And they have to actually counsel another party. And so they do role plays in class where they actually have to play these things out. And that's the closest I can get them without actually putting them in a situation, you know. And it's amazing as they work through this how helpful that is for them to really think through things and really working with someone who's real that has various issues that are going on in their life. So that's kind of one way how we help them to try to figure out how to implement this and how they're going to do it once they get a call.
Well, certainly a helpful resource. You can find it on lcms.org. In the Life and Health Ministry and Health Ministry, it's a parish nurse video lecture series. Dr. Mark Rockenbach of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, thanks so much for helping us take a look at this topic of guilt and forgiveness, its effect on health. Again, a free resource on lcms.org for under parish nurse ministry. Thanks so much, Dr. Rockenbach.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Today, we'll continue our encore presentations of Thy Strong Word. We're waiting for Pastor Whedon to rejoin us later on this month in August. So we'll continue our study of Galatians chapter, chapter 3 or 4 today in Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.